So you got your stimulus. There's, you know, $700 billion or so. You got your $700 billion bank bailout. But who can possibly keep track of the fact that the government actually has to fund itself? That's the budget. That's a whole other set of billions. And
let alone regulate.
Exactly. I mean, Congress needs to actually pass a budget of $410 billion out the White House door. It's called the Omnibus Spending Bill. It's actually a budget of sorts. What Barack Obama announced last week was the budget for next year. The Omnibus Spending Bill is just keeping the government going this year. It's the funding for federal agencies like the Department of Agriculture, Health and Human Services, Justice Department, all the agencies that are essential to the everyday functioning of the U.S. government. So why has Senator John McCain gotten himself in such a huff like he was yesterday on Capitol Hill?
Unnecessarily and wasteful earmarks. So much for the promise of change, Mr. President. So much for the promise of change.
Thank you, Senator. Now, whether you call them pork or earmarks or congressional mandated spending, that's what Harry Reid actually does call it. The enemies of earmarking are all fired up this week. One more time for Senator McCain.
$951,500 for a sustainable Las Vegas. What does that mean? $6.6 million for termite research in New Orleans, $2.1 million for the Center for Grape Genetics in New York, $1.7 million for a honeybee factory.
So there's probably only one person in Washington who loves to talk about earmarks more than Senator John McCain, and that, of course, is our man on Capitol Hill, Todd Zwillick, reporter for Capitol News Connection. This is not the change we need, but it was definitely the theme on Capitol Hill. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. How's it going?
Great. Todd, meet Farai.
Hi, Farai.
Hello.
So,
hello.
Earmarks. It's all earmarks yesterday on Capitol Hill. And looking at the omnibus spending bill, it seems like, change we need is not enough to get earmarks out of the omnibus spending bill.
Well, John McCain has for his entire career railed against earmarks, John. Some of the change this year is that his anger level seems to have been ratcheted up. He's always passionate about them. He was really angry on the floor yesterday. I think he'll continue to be this week. So the number of earmarks in this bill, and we need to talk a little bit about one person's earmark, one person's pork project versus another person's worthy program.
Exactly.
And I'm sure we will talk about that. But according to Taxpayers for Common Sense, one of the best spending and earmark watchdog groups here in Washington, this omnibus spending bill is $410 billion, contains 8,570 earmarks total for a total of about $7.7 billion. That's the total. And it does. It ranges from everything from termite research in New Orleans, like Senator McCain said, pig odor mitigation in Iowa, which if you lived in Iowa, that might be something that you want some federal money for, I would imagine.
Sure.
Grape genetics in New York is courtesy of Chuck Schumer, senator from New York. So those things sound egregious, but there are lots and lots, dozens, hundreds of different kinds of earmarks, some of them, to the casual observer, to the spreadsheet reader, more worthy than others.
But explain to me, again, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with Senator McCain, but it does seem to be a little bit like low-hanging fruit. I mean, anything as big as a $410 billion spending bill is going to have some small items that, taken out of context, look a little ridiculous.
It will. And, of course, he takes the most ridiculous and egregious ones and takes them to the floor and lists them off. The ones you won't hear Senator McCain and his allies talk about probably are the ones that most people would probably think are probably pretty worthy. If you look, for instance, in the labor, HHS, education, appropriations section of the omnibus, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of individual earmarks for health clinics and hospitals for equipment and ongoing operations. And if you talk to members about this, they will tell you that these are health clinics that served underserved areas, minorities, rural areas, what have you, inner cities, that often can't make margin without help from their local member of Congress getting them earmarks. And most people would probably say that's worthy. I would say Senator McCain would say that that's worthy. But in those cases, he has a problem with the process. Why aren't they vetted the way all the rest of the spending is? Why do individual members who have clout get to put them in the bill?
Todd, do you know anything about the senator's position on earmarks? Has he been someone who has avoided them in his long time in the Senate, or has he also dipped into the well at certain points?
Well, Senator McCain has being against earmarks has been one of the hallmarks of John McCain's entire political career. I don't know the exact answer to question Farai. I don't know if he earmarked back before things like the Keating scandal happened that he got involved in, when he really took on more of a champion of ethics mantle. He does not earmark now and has not for years. He's one of very few members of Congress who don't earmark. Tom Coburn from Oklahoma does not. John Boehner, the Republican leader in the House, does not. But the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats do earmark. The earmarks in this omnibus bill are 60-40 Democrat to Republican. Right. So lots of Republicans earmark. All appropriators earmark. This is the hallmark of their power, their clout back home.
In some ways, it's how things get done. We should remind people, you referred to the Keating 5 scandal. That, of course, was at the beginning of the SNL crisis, the savings and loan crisis, where John McCain was linked to a savings and loan that eventually failed and lost money for lots of people. He disassociated himself with that and claimed that he learned a lesson. So speaking of learning lessons, though, whether you're talking stimulus or earmarks, the question of how things gets done in Washington is really on the table. I wonder if you could listen to Wayne LaPierre, the executive vice president and chief executive officer of the National Rifle Association of America, speaking at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference last week in Washington, D.C. He's attempting to put a stimulus tinge on an old issue. See if you don't admire this as much as I do, Todd.
Boy, I'll tell you, you've read it in the papers. We're watching the marvelous machinery of Second Amendment freedom at work in this country like never before. In one of the worst economies in our lifetimes, gun sales are the highest on record in this country.
And that's not all. Then he goes on, Wayne LaPierre does, to actually explain how it works economically to produce actual stimulus, this buying of guns.
So what does it mean when hardworking men and women postpone that new couch or that new set of tires for their car to invest in their own security? It means law-abiding Americans see the threats coming at them, and they're saying, I won't bet my life on the promises of politicians.
So did you hear the person in the back saying, yeah, right. Here's Wayne LaPierre saying that people are postponing consumer purchases to buy guns in this economy. It's good for guns, but it's an indication that the economy is off track.
They're getting the spirit over there at the NRA. I guess that was at CPAC. Yeah. Interesting thing about the NRA, while we're on it, it's not quite the stimulus. But let's point out really quickly, you're there in New York. Kirsten Gillibrand, the new senator, had a 100% voting record with the NRA up until last week. She voted no on the amendment that would have eviscerated D.C.'s gun laws on the D.C. voting rights bill, her very first anti-gun vote in Congress, because she has to run downstate in 2010. She's no longer just representing Glens Falls and Albany. She has to run in New York City. You don't want a 100% NRA voting record down there, John. So,
that's an interesting point.
Yeah, keep that in mind. A little off topic, and we're talking about the economy and earmarks, but Wayne LaPierre has influence in some places and not so much in others.
Yeah, well, it is all about positioning. And do you see Democrats and beginning to position themselves as friends of big government in these negotiations over the budget, and conservatives trying to produce a sort of stimulus message out of some of its traditional tax and spend kind of arguments as we look forward?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's hard to say, because a lot of the Capitol Hill crunching over the budget, the FY10 budget, hasn't really started yet. A lot of it will start today. Peter Orszag, the White House budget director, comes up today to start to defend the FY2010 budget in the House Budget Committee, and Bernanke will be in the Senate. So those things will start to happen. Really, people are casting this omnibus bill, the one we're talking about, as last year's business. And you'll be hearing all week Republicans angrily saying, well, President Obama, when he campaigned, even when he was talking about the economic recovery package, bragged that it was free of earmarks and that he's against earmarks. Why does this bill have 8,600 earmarks?
Right.
And they say it's last year's business. Let's finish it and move on. And John, by the way, they would say that very quickly. Some former members of Congress who have earmarks in this bill, Ray LaHood, Hilda Solis, Rahm Emanuel, sound familiar?
Oh, sure. Interesting.
Not members of Congress anymore. There are more than a dozen former members of Congress, not even members anymore,
who have earmarks and are in the administration. Todd Zwillick, Capital News Connection. Thanks, as always.
My pleasure.